All right, so for just a few moments this evening, let's consider the joy of justification. And we can look in Philippians and chapter 3 in verses 8 and 9 for a moment to begin our time. Philippians 3, 8 through 9. And, you know, brethren, in the brief time for a devotional, we can't say every wonderful thing there is to say about the doctrine of justification, but we can make a start, and we can say things that are true, and we can encourage our souls, and that will be good. So here is Philippians 3, 8 through 9. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, says, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." And here, brethren, you see accounting terms, right? So Paul says he counts all things as loss. And if you look in the previous verses, these things he counts as loss are those things that he once counted as gain. So being a Pharisee, being a Hebrew of Hebrews, being from the tribe of Benjamin, as his impeccable attempts at keeping God's law, all these things are now under the loss column. So in accounting terms, you could have two columns, a line down the middle, and on one side you got your red, right? You're in the red, you're in the loss column. And Paul says, you know, now that I'm in the gain column, I'm in the black, so to speak, because of Christ, all those things I used to brag about and boast about, they're now in that loss column. I call them nothing compared to what he has in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And so Paul has now found himself in a place where there's no bragging and no boasting except boasting in the cross, as he mentions in Galatians 6, and the righteousness which is from God by faith. He has experienced gain. And you know, when you just consider the doctrine of justification, of course, the reason I want to touch on that tonight is, you know, it's that time of year where we're getting close to Reformation Day. And, of course, that's the great doctrine that sparked the Reformation. It is certainly central to the doctrines of the Reformation. It's a treasured doctrine. It's central to our faith. And it's one of those doctrines also that as we learn more and more about it and we grow in our knowledge, it makes the gospel even more precious to us, even more precious, right? So a person has a weak understanding, and we probably always did. We probably did at one point in our life, right, as a new believer. You know, when the Lord Jesus saved me, and, you know, March 1996, and you asked me, "Hey, Matt, what's justification?" I'd say, I don't know. What is justification? I have no idea. But as your knowledge of the terms and the language of the Word of God grows deeper, so does also that fruit in your life of worship and glory in God's gospel. And we want to do that for a few moments, Lord willing, tonight, to understand really what it means to be reconciled to God and to feel the wonder again and again and again of this beautiful doctrine of justification. And, you know, kind of before we dive in deep for a moment, let's just kind of acknowledge this, that a person is never going to feel the wonder, the joy, the full joy of justification unless we really understand that we, by nature, deserve condemnation. And, you know, a lot of people in this world do not. But when we understand that we are all sinners and we only deserve God's justice and God's wrath because of our sin and thought and word, indeed, then that shuts our mouths to boasting, like the Apostle Paul did previously, boasting about his spiritual resume in Philippians in chapter 3. And you know, we saw last Sunday in our Sunday school lesson, we talked about total depravity. And we looked at Romans 3, 10 through 18. And I just wanted to read that again for us. You know, there is none that are righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's no one who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongue, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And then, of course, part of the summation of all these things is Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so when a person, people like us, when we understand that we are sinners through and through, and the only thing that we deserve because of our sin is the wrath and condemnation of God, then, brethren, doesn't that make the forgiveness of God and the righteousness of Christ imputed to us that much sweeter? And, you know, I guess there is a sense where all people, to some degree, recognize that they might use different language, like I've made mistakes or I haven't done perfectly, but all people, to some degree or another, might recognize that they have sinned, they've done wrong. They might not understand the extent of that, but they all have some understanding that there's, you know, wrong things they've done in their life. And it's not only when we see that we've broken God's laws, but also that we deserve God's wrath. And I can guarantee you that there are a lot of people that you could walk through the Romans Road with and say, hey, look, you know, the Bible says we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of God's glory. And they say, yeah, I can go along with that. But they're not going to acknowledge they deserve wrath or condemnation. But when we embrace the truth that we deserve God's wrath and condemnation, that makes the doctrine of justification so sweet and so beautiful to our ears. It really is amazing grace. And so, as the people of God, we want to treasure the doctrine of justification together. We do so understanding that we deserved the wrath and condemnation of God. And like the Apostle Paul, we've come to the end of ourselves. We count all those things we used to brag in as loss for the sake of Christ. And it's a wonderful thing to think that, you know, I deserved hell, I deserved wrath, but because of God's mercy and grace, I, one day, when I stand before the thrice holy God, the verdict will be, is and will be, not guilty. And on that great day, we will not get what we deserve. And that now brings us to the mercy of justification. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so here in this doctrine of justification, we can glory in the truth that the righteous one, the Lord Jesus, took our place. He did so through his active obedience, living a perfect, sinless, spotless, impeccable life for 33 years. And then his passive obedience, going to a cross and taking the place of all who would believe upon the Lord Jesus, becoming a substitutionary, wrath-bearing sacrifice for our sins, receiving the judgment of God the Father that we deserve. We stand in him forgiven. We stand in him reconciled. And, you know, this goes beyond just forgiveness. I mean, forgiveness is wonderful. Having a blank slate is wonderful. Having your past, present, and future sins washed away, wiped away is wonderful. But the reason, brethren, that we can say, along with the Apostle Paul, Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. The reason we can say, I have peace with God, is not just that our sins are washed away, it is also because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness, his perfect record legally declared and applied to us, so that when the Father looks at us, he sees the finished work of his own beloved Son. To impute righteousness is to legally declare us not guilty and forgiven because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, brethren, as we gather tonight to pray, we do so as, praise God, a people who have all our filthy sins forgiven, past, present, and future. We do so as a people who have had our consciences cleansed, cleansing of guilt from our soul. We do so as a people who've been made perfect in our Father's sight, because there will be a day when everyone will stand before the throne of the Lord King Jesus. And some on that great day will hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But for the people of God who've been made righteous and declared innocent, we will stand before the throne of God and declare not just not guilty, praise God for that, but we will also be welcomed into the kingdom of our Savior Jesus as dear children. It's beautiful and it's wonderful. Again, this is the confidence that we see the Apostle Paul has in Philippians 3. That which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Paul's confidence before God was not his, you know, religious experiences or, good works. It was only the righteousness of Christ credited to him. And so, brethren, one day when we stand before the throne of God above, we will be clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus. And this means a few things. It means, number one, that day is going to come for all of us. When our time comes to die, we can die in peace. And I tell you what, 10 out of 10 people die, and dying in peace is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Just had a dear lady from our church in Pennsylvania. We found out today that she passed away. It's a wonderful thing to think about dying in peace. And you know, a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't die with peace. It's a wonderful thing to know that whenever your time comes, you'll die in peace. It's a wonderful thing to be free to worship. Free to worship with a clean conscience, having our sins washed away, having our guilt washed away. It's a wonderful thing in our own private devotions and with our families around family worship and our church family when we gather together on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's a wonderful thing to come before the throne of grace with boldness because we have the imputed righteousness of Jesus. And the Father looks at us, he sees the perfect record of his own beloved Son, and God calls us his own beloved children. That is a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing to have no fear in life. Doesn't mean we don't get anxious about certain things, right? We want to admit that we do, but I mean that deep fear that so, I guess, millions and billions of people live with. Just the uncertainty because they have a worldview that says we're just here by chance. Everything's just chaotic. We don't know what's happening. Who can really know? And we say, no, our life is held in the strong hands of a sovereign God. And he holds our destinies, and one day we'll be with him forever. But until then, he is with us now. So there's no fear in life. There's no fear in death. There's knowledge of our sonship. There's a joy of true Christian fellowship. We have each other to walk through life. And brethren, all of these things and so many more, they all flow out of the doctrine of justification. What's following justification? Justification, then adoption, then sanctification, then our future glorification. So many wonderful gifts flow out of and based on the doctrine of justification. And so, Lord, as we now prepare to get in our groups and pray together, We pray we do so with just the light in our hearts and souls. These are things that most of us have known and rejoiced in for years, but we pray just the retelling and rethinking would be a great joy to our hearts and souls as we pray. Pray that we ask that you would help us as we live our daily lives before you, before your face, to be mindful of the good things you have done for us, eternal things, wonderful things, holy things. We pray, Lord, that we be mindful of the good news of the gospel every single day, because we know that this really is a world with devils filled that threatens to undo us. And so we pray that we would have our feet firmly planted on the rock of the good news of King Jesus, and that when the storms and winds of life blow against us, whether that be family trouble or financial trouble or health issues or whatever it might be called, that it will not ultimately move us, because our feet are planted with deep roots into the gospel soil, and that we'll bear much fruit and we'll endure to the end, and we'll finally, fully, totally be saved and stand before the throne of God and be welcomed in into heaven and experience the very end of our salvation being eternal glory. And so, Lord, we pray you bless us with great thoughts about you and true and right thoughts about this world. And help us now, we pray, as we pray in our groups, to engage in spiritual battle together and to lift each other up in prayer. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.